Let's look now at the means of justification. Faith alone, as we've just said. The instrument of justification, faith alone, is clearly spelled out many times in Scripture. One of the clearest is from Romans 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Now, Paul reiterates similar thoughts later on in verses 25 through 28. And he uses the preposition dia with a genitive, which often signifies means or instrument. But he never states that justification is dia piston, on account of faith, which would involve faith as in some way as the basis or ground of justification. But here, four times in Romans 3, and again in 2 Corinthians 5 and Galatians 3, Paul always uses dia, by means of. Righteousness of God comes through faith. Faith is the channel. Well, then we get the million-dollar question, is faith a condition of justification? We are justified not merely by faith, but by faith in Christ. Not beholding of what faith is, but because of what faith lays hold of. We are not saved for believing, but we are saved by believing. So we believe that it's more accurate, and particularly in our day when people are looking for works righteousness, we need to be careful speaking of faith as a condition of justification. We believe it's more accurate to say faith is the instrument, the means by which I receive justification. Faith is not a builder, but a beholder. It has nothing to give or achieve in the process, but it has all to receive. It's the hand that receives. Now, though faith is the means through which God works salvation, it cannot be the condition if by the word condition we mean more than the necessary order or way of salvation. It cannot be the condition of salvation if we mean by the word condition something more than the necessary order or way of salvation. That would be dishonoring the doctrine of free grace alone. And yet some Reformed divines have called faith a condition. Solid Reformed divines that we would respect, and herein lies our problem. But I would posit with you that when they do so, they speak of faith as a condition in a non-meritorious sense. Robert Shaw puts it this way, quote, "Some worthy divines have called faith a condition who are far from being of the opinion that it is a condition properly so called, on the performance of which men should, according to the gracious covenant of God, have a right to justification as their reward. But they merely intended that without faith we cannot be justified, that faith must precede justification in the order of time or of nature. However, since the term condition is very ambiguous and calculated to mislead the ignorant, it should better be avoided." Now that's Shaw, and I think he's got a lot of wisdom there. Robert Trail is even a bit stronger. Quote, "Faith in Jesus Christ in the office of justification is neither condition nor qualification, but in its very act a renouncing of all such pretenses." In other words, he's saying the very act of faith by which we receive Christ is an act of utter renunciation of all our own works as a condition or ground of salvation. And I love this quote of Horatius Bonar. "Faith is not work, nor merit, nor effort, but the cessation from all these, and the acceptance in place of them all, what another has done, done completely, and done forever." I have elaborated on this in much greater length in my article on justification by faith alone, in the book Justification by Faith Alone, edited by Don Kistler. My second question, I think it's around page 75 or so, addresses this question, and I belabor the point maybe 3-4 pages. And if you're interested in this, I'd refer you for more detail there. Well, a final question then arises about the means. If faith is not a condition properly so understood, what about James 2? Where James says in verse 24, James 2:24, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Well, many theologians have grappled with this, of course. Many suggestions have been made. And I think that it's really simpler than it's often made out to be in this particular case anyway. We have to realize here that James is using the word justified differently than Paul normally uses it. The word justify has a range of meanings, as we've heard. One significant meaning was the doctrine we're considering now, declaring to be righteous. But the Greek word dikaioō can also mean to demonstrate you are righteous, to show you are righteous. Like Jesus used it in Luke 16, verse 15. You are those who justify yourselves before men. You show yourself before men, supposedly that you're just, but God knoweth your heart. The point you see here is that the Pharisees weren't going around making legal declarations declaring themselves righteous, but they were going around showing with their works, their outward deeds, that they were righteous. But the Lord knows the heart. And there are other examples. Paul uses it this way too on rare occasions. Romans 3 verse 4. Now, this is the sense in which James obviously uses the word justify here. When he says in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? He's referring to something later in Abraham's life, the story of the sacrifice of Isaac, not back to Genesis 15, verse 6, where Paul says it was reckoned to him for righteousness when he believed. So in Genesis 15, Abraham believed by faith alone, was justified. Genesis 22, seven chapters later, he showed that he was justified by his works, by offering up Isaac. So I think that's the key issue. One of the old divines said, and this is a mouthful, but you have to think it through. He said, we are justified in our justification by our sanctification. That's saying the same thing. Our sanctification, which inevitably flows out of our justification, shows our justification. And that's what James is concerned about. Oh, you say you're justified, but let me see it by your walk and the fruits of your life. I'm not sure if I can say it again. You mean what our forefathers said? Okay, it's something like this. We are justified. No, our justification is justified by our sanctification. See, James' argument is that if we don't show in our lives that we are justified by our sanctification, then all we've got really left is an intellectual gospel. And he hits hard at this theme. He obviously was dealing with people, which he thought this was the case. At least a remnant of people. And so he even goes on to say, even the devils have an intellectual faith. Even the devils believe, and they even tremble. That's more than what some of you do. But you need a faith that shows itself in works. So again, the whole idea here is that justification by faith alone is the ground of our salvation, but faith is never alone. Faith always brings in its trail works of love and so forth.